Father, thank you for your love, your blessings. Thank you for the wonderful gifts that you give to us. Enjoy being among those. Lord, thank you that we have this special season of the year set aside when it seems like the whole world just stops for a moment. And if even for just a moment, that they stop and they consider things that are of real importance. I thank you that we have a message to give, and that message is the good news that, Lord God, you have given your only begotten Son and have it more abundantly. Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of yourself. You gave your all, your best, that we might have eternal life. Joy. Such a small word. Such a very small word. But oh, how great is the gift. Open our hearts and our minds this morning, Father, to your word. Guide us by your Spirit. We continue to pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name. Amen. As I told the children this morning, joy is a very small word, but it's sort of hard to describe. You know it if you have it. You know it probably if you see it. But to try to define it to someone, it takes a little bit of doing. Generally, someone will say that it's happiness. And that's not necessarily wrong, but happiness is such a small part of what joy actually is. We're going to see what God has to say about that in His Word today. First of all, from Luke chapter 2, verse 10, "Then the angel said to them," now who is the them here? The them is the shepherds, right? They were out in the field taking care of their sheep, and all of a sudden these angels appeared, and they were scared to death. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of what? Great joy, which will be to all people." What was the message they were bringing? The birth of Jesus, right? God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. The message, the prophecy foretold hundreds of years before, now fulfilled, as the angels bring the good news of great joy, which will be to all people. Because who did Jesus come to? All of us, didn't he? Yes. Jesus said, "I came to call sinners to repentance." Anybody in here a sinner? Yeah. "I come to call sinners to repentance." That's right. Let's keep going. Nehemiah chapter 8. "Sorrow for the what? Joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is your strength. I started looking up last night, and I didn't write down the exact number, but the word joy is replete throughout Scripture, starting in the Old Testament, going all the way to the New Testament. Over and over again, you see the word joy. You see the word love. You see the word faith. You see all these words that mean so much. But joy is among those. As we consider joy today, let's look at the definition of joy. And the letters are a little bit smaller here because I wanted to crowd as much as I could. And there was more I could have put in this definition slide. What does joy mean? My favorite definition of joy, and it really doesn't do it justice, but my favorite definition of joy is a calm delight. A calm delight. Okay? One of the Bible encyclopedias, or dictionaries rather, defines joy as an exultation. Now that's not a word we use a whole lot, you know. Exultation. Exuberance. Now that little girl was exuberant. She was exuberant. Exuberance. Okay, that's pretty close. That's in the ballpark. Gladness. Yeah, gladness. That might be right. Characteristic of the Christian. Let me ask you. Don't answer out loud necessarily, but are you a Christian? Does joy characterize your life? Think about it. Is joy a characteristic of your life? Well, I'm going to tell you, give you a hint. If you are really a Christian, then yes, joy better be a characteristic of your life. And we're going to see why in a little bit. Because this is the best definition of joy. It is a produce of God's Holy Spirit. Joy is a produce of God's Holy Spirit. We don't get joy. We don't steal joy. We don't buy joy. We are given joy. Amen? We are given joy when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When we receive His Spirit, we receive joy. We receive joy. It's interesting, and we don't have time to get into all the details, but as you look at the word joy in the Hebrew and the Aramaic, and then later on in the Koine Greek, you'll see a little bit of difference in the meaning, the fullness of the meaning of joy. In the Old Testament, you will see joy related more to gladness and exultation and exuberance, specifically with a religious theme. You're going to see that it is more of the characteristic of a Christian, that it is characterized by a relationship with God. Well, let's keep going. A few things we want to look at today is, number one, okay, what is this joy we're talking about? What is really joy? What is joy? Is it I'm happy all the time? No, if you're happy all the time, you're on a drug of some kind. Joy does not mean you're happy all the time. Because happiness, listen to me now, happiness is dependent upon the circumstances that you find yourself in, right? So, you know, if you go under the Christmas tree tomorrow night or Tuesday, whenever you open your presents, and there's a small envelope with your name on the tree, and you open this envelope, and it's got a key in the envelope to a car. And you go out, and you go out into the yard, and there's a bright, shiny, new, red, put whatever kind of car you want in there. You know, would you be happy? Would you be happy? Okay, next month you get a bill from the bank. Are you still happy? Huh? Are you still happy? If I'm paying for it right now. So you see, happiness is dependent upon circumstances. Joy is independent of circumstances. Now, I know we say that a lot, but we need to understand why that is the case. Because if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then you are going it alone, right? You're going it alone. And the world is going to beat you down. It's not a question of if it will. It's just how often is it going to and how bad is it going to. And so you don't really have joy. You may have happiness. There may be moments in your life that you're happy. But you're not going to have this calm delight that carries you through the storms. You see, joy is a natural, or you might really want to use the term supernatural, consequence of one's fellowship with God. You see, that's what joy really is when you get down to it. Joy is a consequence, a result of, due to, your fellowship with God. Now, I stress the word fellowship there more than just relationship. Now, let me explain to you what I'm talking about. When you realize, at whatever age you are, that you realize that you are a sinner and that you are destined to hell, and that you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, to come into your heart and your life and be your Lord and your Savior, you are saved right then. And God's Spirit comes to take residence in your life. But sometimes, even though we are saved, we don't continue to walk in fellowship with Jesus Christ. We get sidetracked by the hustle and bustle of things in the world, the glitz and the glamour of the world, and we get sidetracked. And now listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. We can lose the joy of our salvation. I did not say, and I do not believe, that you lose your salvation. That's not what I said. But I can say, I do believe, and I believe Scripture supports, that we can lose the joy of our salvation. David, King David, did that. Psalm 51 is a response to the fact that he strayed away out of fellowship with God, and you know what all he got into? Into adultery and murder, basically, even though he didn't do the killing himself, he caused the death of Uriah. So David strayed a long way from fellowship with God. And when the prophet Nathan challenged David on it, and he said, David, you're the man, David repented of his sins, and Psalm 51, and I recommend you read Psalm 51. Psalm 51, part of that says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. David had not lost the salvation, but he lost the joy of the salvation. So we can lose the joy of our salvation when we stray away from fellowship. What's the difference? The difference is when you are saved, you are in relationship. You cannot change a relationship. If once you're saved, you are a child of God and you will always be a child of God. But you may not always walk in fellowship with Him. Let me ask you, have you got a friend today who used to be a very close friend, but for whatever reason, you guys are not close today because you have walked your separate ways? You're still friends. Or maybe you got a family member. They're still your cousin, still your sibling, whatever they are in relation to you, but you don't hardly ever talk to them. The fellowship is strained. The relationship's there, but the fellowship. God, once we're saved, but we want to maintain a fellowship. Because when you don't maintain that walk of fellowship, you start having things happen, and one of the first things you lose is the joy of your salvation. And there's a whole lot of other things that happened as well that we don't have time to get into today that cause pain and chastisement to come on us, those kind of things. But we're talking about joy today. We don't want to lose that joy, that calm delight, that exuberance, that exultation, that produce of God's Spirit by walking off and leaving God. Let me tell you, and that's always the case, God's not going to walk off and leave us, amen? The walking off and leaving is always us. Now, man, we can go through all kinds of wild gyrations and justifications about why I got to do this and why I need to do this, but the ultimate thing is I'm moving away from God every time I'm doing it. And at some point in time, we're going to look around and realize, oh my goodness, how did I get way over here? You got over there one step at a time, stepping away from God. So what is this joy? It's a response to the workings of God, and it's a natural consequence of our fellowship with Him. It is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 delineates part of the cluster, the fruit of the Spirit. And it says, the first one's love. What's the second one? Joy. Joy. So joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit. So that's what this joy we're talking about is, secondly. All right, what's the results? What's the results? And I got to thinking about this and praying about this. You know, God, what is the result of joy? And you know, we look at this little girl, and man, she was jumping around. She was having a great time. I could see Michael doing that when he was a kid in the children's choir. Did you do like that when you were when you? Okay, but you know, she was getting into it. And Kathy made a comment. You could not look at that film and not smile. I don't care how bad a day you had, or if somebody stole your car or what else. If you look at that, you're going to smile. Because she is demonstrating joy. But it's more than just jumping around. So what are the results of joy? I like this definition, strength. It is an inner strength that will withstand any external force. In Nehemiah, it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Nehemiah was sent back to do what? Rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. Why do you build a wall around a city? To protect it. To withstand the forces of invasion, the forces of assault. Well, this joy, the joy of the Lord, is our strength. We can rely on this inner strength no matter what hurricane force wind we encounter in life. And friends, no matter who you are today, you're going to experience a storm. I'm probably sure you've all already experienced, unless you're really, really young. But hang on, if you hadn't, you will. So we got to rely on this strength, and this strength is the joy of the Lord. Have you ever thought about it? That the joy of the Lord will be your strength. How could Paul and his friends sing in a dungeon? Because I'm quite sure that the conditions were less than optimum. How were they singing? Because the joy of the Lord was their strength in spite of Roman dungeon. Now, before we've used the term about peace, no peace, or no God, no peace, or no God, no peace. You know what I'm saying? If you don't have God, you don't have peace. Well, here, if you don't have joy, you don't have strength. No joy, no strength. Because if we're relying on our own strength, we're sadly misinformed. Because the strongest person you know, if we're relying on our own prowess, we're not gonna succeed. So no joy, no strength. Calm delight. That's the result. The joy is a calm delight, independent of the circumstances. Now, battery technology has come a long, long way from what it used to be, right? You know, used to, when you got a toy for Christmas, you had to have some big old honking batteries in them, and they didn't last very long. They didn't last very long. I have a handheld scanner that's, I don't know, quite a few years old, and I don't use it anymore because it takes 8 AA batteries. It weighs a ton because it's got all these batteries, and it don't run very long. I recently bought a new handheld scanner. It takes 2 AA batteries, and it runs for hours and hours and hours. So the technology is a lot better on batteries than they used to be. But still, we got a problem with batteries. What is the problem with batteries? They die. And invariably, the batteries die at the most inopportune time, right? You have a power failure, and you go dig the flashlight out of the drawer. You know, battery's probably in 6 years, but I'm sure they're still okay, right? No, they don't work. Why do they tell you change the batteries in your smoke detector every 6 months? Because batteries die. So if we could hook in to some kind of power that I don't have to recharge every time I turn around, would you take advantage of it? Yeah. Well, that's what Jesus Christ does for you and for me. When we hook into Him, we get His Spirit. And you don't have to recharge His Spirit. Independent of circumstances, you have this calm delight. What else is the result of joy? What that little girl was doing. She was worshiping. The other kids, I'm sure, were too. But you had to look hard to tell if they were really enjoying it. But you didn't have to look very hard to tell if she was enjoying it. And, you know, I got to think. Now, I'm not saying that their worship was not acceptable by God. I'm not saying that. But you got to think that Jesus is pleased when He sees somebody that's that excited to worship Him. Don't you think so? Because if you had somebody who, oh man, I got to go visit that person. You mean I got to go sit with them for 30 minutes or something? You know, do they want you to come there if you're going to have that kind of attitude? No. Now, if you're excited to show up to be with somebody, they're going to want to be with you. They're going to want to hear what you got to say. Don't come because you got to. Come because you want to. Come because you can't stand not to. That's where the Christian ought to be. Now, I know you guys, y'all got smartphones. Be honest, how long can you go without looking at your smartphone? 15 minutes. Maybe. Why? Because you might miss something. What are you going to miss? Some friend might say something or post something that you need to know about. And that's okay, because you care about your friend. How long do you go before you talk to Jesus Christ? 15 days? Only when we need to? The result of joy is worship. The result of joy is service. The result of joy is infectious. Is infectious. I'm surprised that all the kids around that little girl didn't start jumping around. They probably would have, except they saw their parents giving them the eye, probably. You know what I'm talking about, giving them the eye? Don't move. That girl, that girl's joy was infectious. And, you know, we ought to be excited to worship God. We ought to be excited to serve God. We ought to be excited, and it ought to be, and our joy ought to be infectious. When we open the doors at 5 o'clock tomorrow evening, there ought to be having to put chairs in the aisles. That's what it ought to be. What it ought to be. That's the result. Thirdly, the source. I want some of that. What's the source? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the source of joy. He is the only source. Sole, proprietary, exclusive source of joy. You cannot get joy in an alcohol bottle. You cannot get joy in a needle. You cannot get joy in a drug. You cannot get joy in a relationship with a person. You cannot get joy under a Christmas tree, on a car lot, or anywhere else. Joy comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can spend your whole life chasing it, and you will never apprehend it unless you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. I love figs. Got some fig preserves for Christmas this morning. I love fig preserves. Figs only come from one place. A fig tree. Can't find them on a grapevine or anywhere else, because they are produce of a fig tree. Well, joy is a produce of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God only comes when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It is grace through faith, Scripture says. We're saved by what? Grace through faith. What does that mean? It means you turn the key on an engine on your car or your truck, and what hope roars to life? An engine. That's the power. That's the grace. But that engine roaring to life is not going to do you any good unless you do something else. And what is that? You got to take a gear shift either on the floor if you got a sports car, or up on the column. You got to take a gear shift and do what with it? Put it in gear. That's the faith. Faith engages the grace. We are saved by grace. You're not going anywhere if the engine's not running. God's providing the power. His grace is providing the power. The faith puts it in gear. Do you trust Him? Do you believe Him? Because this joy comes from a relationship, not a religion. Not a religion. You can sign up for all kinds of religions, follow all kinds of rules and regulations, be the most religious person in the world, and still totally miss joy. Because joy only comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ, not from following a religion. Joy is a lifestyle, not a special occasion. Joy does not only occur at Christmas. Joy occurs 365 days a year if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Joy occurs in hospitals. Joy occurs in orphanages. Joy occurs in police stations and fire stations and funeral homes. Because it's totally independent of circumstances. Because it is plugged in and provided by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Here's your compass point. We receive joy when we receive Jesus. Why are you going to wait? Why are you going to wait? Father, we love you with all that we are, the best we know how. And Father, we know that you love us because you have given us your best. And Father, joy is one of those things that is we're hard-pressed to describe it, but we know it when we got it. Lord God, thank you for joy, for peace, for hope, for love. Thank you for Jesus. If there's someone here this morning, Lord, that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, then they don't have joy. They don't know joy. But I pray that they will surrender their life to you, that they will ask you to forgive you, to forgive them of their sins, to be their Savior, to be their Lord, and that, Father, then they will experience, they will have joy unspeakable. I thank you for what you have done in our lives, for what you're going to do. We give you praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.